Remake Rewind.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to Remake Rewind, the podcast where we decide if remakes or reboots should have happened. Today, we've got a special episode. We're actually going to be covering three movies, and this is a bonus episode entirely. So we're going to be talking about Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, and the brand new Spider-Man Homecoming. I am Mike, as always, and with me is Dustin. How are you doing, Dustin?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, man. You're a great guy, and like I care, I genuinely care about how your day is.
What a guy.
All right, so we're going to be talking about a movie that just came out in theaters just a couple of days ago, so obviously there's going to be spoilers. We're going to be talking about the first two movies, or the first two franchises, the Tobey Maguire and the Andrew Garfield one first, so we'll do our best to avoid spoilers during those two segments, so if you guys want to listen to the episode up until the Homecoming part, feel free, and then pause it, go watch the movie, and then come back and finish it. But just be warned, we might slip. There will be some spoilers, and once we get to Homecoming, there's going to be no bars held, or whatever you say. No holds barred. I'm a huge nerd with Spider-Man. I've got hundreds and hundreds of Spider-Man comic books, dozens of action figures, so I could talk all day. I love the character. We've talked about how much I like the character in previous episodes, but what's your relationship to Spider-Man, Dustin?
Not nearly as intimate as yours, but I like Spider-Man. You know, he's a staple of the Marvel Universe. Cool character. He's been around, like, since the early 60s or something.
Spider-Man. 1962. Yeah. Amazing Fantasy number 15.
But yeah, no, Spider-Man's cool. I enjoy it. It's kind of, I don't have a super big attachment to the character, but he's fine.
Awesome. So I have a huge attachment to the character. I really related to him as a kid, and I love all things Spider-Man. Like, I'm very lenient with this character in most comic books, cartoons, TV shows, movies, and stuff like that. So it was definitely interesting rewatching some of these movies. Like, I haven't watched the Tobey Maguire ones in quite a while, and I really liked the Andrew Garfield ones when they first came out, and I watched them on Blu-ray a couple times, but it's still been a couple of years since I watched the first Amazing Spider-Man. I watched the Electro one, the second one, you know, maybe a year and a half ago.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, it's solid. A lot of people didn't like it. There were, you know, some issues with having a lot of villains in it, but Jamie Foxx's Electro was awesome, and I would recommend checking it out, but I expected to like a certain franchise better than the other, and I was surprised that I actually liked the opposite one better. Did you have any kind of feelings?
I remembered feeling like what I didn't really like about the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man is that they just made it feel like it sucks to be Spider-Man way too hard.
Yeah, it's definitely a different tone.
Like, he's just really whiny about being Spider-Man. Well, I mean, you know, once we talk about all of them, I think all the different Spider-Men in these movies handle being Spider-Man very differently.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think we definitely need to talk about the different Peter Parkers, the different Spider-Man, and how they're different, and just what it means to be Spider-Man with each one. I definitely think we should talk about, like, the support structure, like the Aunt May's, the Uncle Ben's, and whatever, like, the love interest is, or, you know, the best friend or whoever it is. And I guess the villain and just overall tone, I that's quite a few criteria. Normally we do three, but I think with a superhero franchise like this, we might need to go into that fourth territory.
Okay.
So the first Spider-Man came out in 2002, directed by Sam Raimi. It starred Tobey Maguire. It starred James Franco. It had Willem Dafoe, Kirsten Dunst, Rosemary Harris, and I can't remember the actor who played Uncle Ben, but he played Charlie in the, like, Flowers for Algernon movie.
Huh.
That's what I know him from. But this was a huge, huge, big part of, like, cinematic history. Like, before this, obviously you had the Superman movies in, like, the 70s and 80s and, you know, the Batman movies. But those kind of, like, died off, you know, in the mid-90s because Batman and Robin was terrible. And then you had, like, the resurgence with Blade and then the X-Men. But this movie was, like, the first major blockbuster in the 2000s. Like, it was, like, the biggest opening of all time, even adjusted for inflation. It was a huge, huge movie, and it was very, like, groundbreaking in terms of special effects and CGI and all that stuff. So it was a big deal. I remember seeing this in theater. I saw this in theaters multiple times. It was probably the first movie that I saw in theaters more than once. I loved it as a kid. Any feelings particularly on this movie for you?
I liked this movie. I thought it was you know, it was fine for a Spider-Man movie. I think it hit on a lot of what it needed to hit on. I think, you know, it was just kind of weird, I guess, watching all three of these so close together and trying, like, it was kind of like a weird overload of watching all these Spider-Man movies simultaneously. So, like, trying to, like, keep yourself from comparing them while you're watching them is very difficult.
I agree. I found myself watching these movies and wanting to talk about or, like, think about things that were happening and for, like, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3. And, like, when I was trying to think of what criteria I wanted to talk about, like, villains and stuff, like, wanting to talk about Doc Ock and Spider-Man 2. But I'm going to try to contain it just to the three movies that we actually watched.
Yeah, I think one thing that did stick out for me, actually, especially coming off of like watching The Fly and doing The Fly, was I felt like this Spider-Man made it, like, they took more time to make it scary to be turning into Spider-Man, you know?
There's, like, definitely a weirdness,
like,
to
acknowledging
it.
That mutation is happening or whatever, and, like, his webs are, like, fluid that come out of him and stuff, like, and just, like, learning what he can do, like, in his room, you know, and at school. Like, it was paced to where he was kind of scaring himself, you know. It reminded me a lot of, like, that Seth Brundle where he could, like, you know, he's doing the gymnastics or whatever.
Yeah, and then climbing,
like,
on the wall.
Yeah, like, that weird kind of, like, mania from the transformation was pretty creepy, I thought. Which, I guess it's a Sam Raimi movie, so it's probably why.
Yeah, definitely. And this is, like you said, like, they spend a lot of time on him as a teenager and him discovering himself. Like, it's more than 50 minutes into the movie before you actually see the classic red and blue costume.
Yeah.
Basic summary of the plot. It's a pretty simple origin story. He's the super nerdy kid. They start off on this field trip. He gets bitten by the spider. He goes into his room and is like, looks like he's about to die. And he's got, like, this spider bite, like the size of a golf ball.
Yeah,
on his
he's knees. Like super sick.
And it's like, this kid's supposed to be super smart and a genius. And he, like, that doesn't alarm him. He doesn't think he should go to a hospital. Like, that's kind of dumb.
No, he's just going to ride it out in the night.
He got lucky. Like, everything was fine, I guess. Like, you're no longer a human.
Even if you knew just about the different kinds of spiders, not leaving out irradiated spiders, like regular spiders, and you're in that much pain and running a fever, go to the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we can take this moment to tell our listeners, should you find themselves in this situation, go to the hospital. You're not going to turn
into
Spider-Man.
You're not turning into Spider-Man. It doesn't happen.
Like, suppose, like, a brown recluse spider, like, those spider bites cause, like, the necrosis
your
of
hand
the
and
tissue.
You lose, like, fingers and stuff like that. It's
yeah,
gnarly.
Go to the damn hospital. Like, if he had the internet,
he did
in his room.
Absolutely, he did. So,
but maybe he was too sick to really handle the situation properly.
I guess so. You know, his wits weren't about him. His DNA was being rewritten.
Well, maybe his brain was turned into a spider brain.
Oh no! So he ends up, like, waking up the next morning, and he's, like, super ripped, and he's, like, kind of, like, peeping on Mary Jane, and then he, like, comes down the stairs. He does this little run up the wall. He's all cute. And Uncle Ben's like, "Hey, you're super cool now." And so he goes to, like,
that was my favorite line in the movie.
So he ends up going to school and he, like, figures out his web power. Like, he accidentally, like, has a premature ejaculation through his wrist of the webs and, like, accidentally, like, sprays Flash Thompson with, like, the web and the tray, and, like,
he just webs all over.
He webs all over himself, and he ends up, like, fighting Flash Thompson, and he's, like, doing, like, he does, like, a triple flip in the hallway, keeps dodging the punches, punches Flash Thompson, like, 50 feet, and has this
web.
Yeah, like,
knocks him across the
it's
room.
It's amazing that nobody figured out that he's Spider-Man.
It's amazing that he didn't kill that child.
Cave in his chest. Well, I mean, that guy was clearly, like, 35 years old going
to
high school.
They were all really old looking in high school.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that was Joe Manganiello.
Yes, it was. Yep. So eventually he decides, like, after spying on Mary Jane some more, finding out that she likes Flash's car, that he decides he needs to go get a car. He goes and fights Bonesaw McGraw.
Yep, Bonesaw.
Bonesaw, he's ready.
Savage. That was a pretty good one.
Bonesaw definitely wasn't ready for that, though.
No, he was not, but it was great to see the Macho Man in the movie.
Oh, it was great.
I mean,
him and
he's a treat to see all the
time. Him and Bruce Campbell in the same scene. It's pretty great.
Magic.
So he goes into this, like, cage match. Octavia Spencer was in this movie too, like, a little bit role. She was, like, the person checking, like, the fighters in. So he goes and he, like, he says his name is the Human Spider, and Bruce Campbell's like, "That sucks," and then renames him the Amazing Spider-Man. And
yeah,
he goes and fights and he whoops up on Bonesaw McGraw, and he goes to get paid, and the promoter decides to only pay him, like, $100 instead of the $3,000 he's supposed to get, because he says 3 minutes and you pinned him in 30 seconds or whatever it was.
Yeah,
you pinned him
like
in
that.
Two. He's like, you were supposed to find him for 3 minutes, but you pinned him in two. You're lucky you get paid. So he ends up getting robbed. Peter lets him go. That guy ends up shooting Uncle Ben. And then he just realizes that he needs to be a superhero. And then meanwhile, Norman Osborn, played by Willem Dafoe. Perfect casting, by the way. Willem Dafoe, great.
Willem looks like a goblin all the time.
Exactly right. But he was great in this movie. Like, Willem Dafoe is always awesome. And yeah. He is playing Norman Osborn, the head of Oscorp, and they're about to lose some funding from the military for like this superhuman serum and like a goblin glider. And he decides to experiment on himself, goes crazy, becomes the Green Goblin, ends up killing everybody, who kills the board of directors. He kills like his main competition for the grant, and then just decides that he wants to recruit Spider-Man and, you know, take over the world as like buddies.
When do you think he built the goblin helmet? Or was the test helmet always,
so,
like, did it always have a goblin motif?
I read the novelization for this right around the time the movie came out, and I don't remember exactly where that helmet came from. In the movie, you see another guy, like, testing the glider, and he kind of had, like, a hood and goggles on. And
yeah.
In the game that came out on GameCube, Xbox, and, like, PlayStation 2, there's actually like a mode that you can unlock and play as one of the guys, like the experimental goblin guy.
Okay.
And it's just like a hood and goggles. So I don't really remember where it came from. In the novelization, it said that Norman Osborn was like obsessed with masks. And there's a scene in the movie where you see all these like masks on the wall.
Yeah.
So like maybe he had one made after the fact. I have no idea.
Mm.
But he goes and kills like everybody who's ever crossed them. So somehow he's not a suspect right away.
And he just goes and murdering people.
A ton of people. Like, everybody, like, it's like front page nudes that,
yeah,
like Oscorp's gonna like be sold to Quest Dynamics or whatever the name of that other company was, and all of a sudden, yeah, like everybody in charge of that's dead. Like, how would nobody suspect him? So
no.
Peter Parker and Spider-Man decide to like, no, I'm not gonna join you. Norman Osborn finds out that who he is, and you know, there's a big climactic battle on the bridge. You know, lots of other stuff happens. You see Kristen Dunst like in a wet t-shirt, which was pretty interesting,
yeah,
for me as a 13-year-old when I saw this movie.
All right.
But that's it in a nutshell. You know, obviously a lot of stuff happens, and I'm sure we'll talk about some stuff as we talk about the characters and everything like that. But you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head earlier when you said he's very whiny and it's like a bother to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, you don't, you know, I mean, I guess you don't really get that sense that this is a teenager with newfound superhuman abilities that would also just be really fun to have.
And, like, he plays like, with it a little bit. Like, when he's discovering the powers, it has that stupid scene where he, like, doesn't know how to use the webs and is like, go, go, Gadget Web, fly.
And he's always up there in his room playing with his web shooters.
Yeah, and stuff like that. Like, and then when he becomes Spider-Man, he has, like, he's not really cheeky. He has a few things with Mary Jane where he's like, you know who I am, and, like, who are you? Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Like, he has a few,
yeah,
jokes.
He's not really that friendly of a neighborhood Spider-Man.
No, though. Not really. Like, he has a couple of jokes when, like, the first time, like, in the ring with Bonesaw McGraw, he's like, nice outfit. Did your husband make it? You know, but
yeah,
he's not particularly funny and quippy as, you know, Spider-Man is classically in the comic books and the cartoons. Like, Spider-Man, like, is slightly more confident and slightly more energetic than Peter Parker. And I really do mean slightly.
I would agree. Like, that was just, if I was picking out a problem, I guess I have with this Spider-Man, is like, you know, the Spider-Man that I imagine, like, enjoys being Spider-Man, enjoys doing web-slinging stuff, you know? Like, just the day-to-day being Spider-Man seems enjoyable, and for Tobey Maguire, it seemed just like a huge hassle,
yeah,
to,
like,
be Spider-Man at all.
He does a few woo-hoos as he's, like, swinging and stuff, but, like, that's it. Like,
they seem forced.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem very natural at all.
Forced and 80-yard. And the thing about this Spider-Man is it actually changed the comic book. So he had you mentioned like the organic web shooters that come out of his wrist. Like, he didn't make anything for this. And
no,
a lot of people had issues with it at the time, because a big part of the character is he's a genius and he makes these web shooters and he makes the webs and he makes spider tracers. He has all these like gadgets. And this Spider-Man has no gadgets. Like, he doesn't do any of that stuff. So I get like why a lot of people didn't like that. And I do think it makes sense to have organic webbing. Like, when you think of a spider, you do think of wall crawling and spider web. So it makes sense that like if you have spider powers, you should be able to shoot webs. It doesn't really make sense that it would come out of the wrist, but, you know, for the character, you know, it's got to come out of there.
Where would it make sense for it to come out
his
of?
His abdomen. His rectum.
Oh, his, that makes his, much more
his
sense.
His anus.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot more reasonable.
Speaking of his costume, like, I remember, like, going into this, I was like, I remember not really liking the raised webbing, and, like, even back then, like, there's parts, like, on his head and neck where, because it's all raised and it's, like, 3D printed onto the costume, where the webbing design kind of, like, breaks apart and it looks a little weird, but I actually liked it a lot better this time around. Like, I guess I was a more forgiving with it because it was a stylistic choice. I was fine with the costume overall. You know, that's part of the Spider-Man. Like, the coloring was right. You know,
yeah,
it was definitely brighter than some of the other.
The
costumes.
Mirror finished eyes were kind of interesting.
They were interesting at the time. Like, they weren't white.
It doesn't really seem like the best for Spider-Maning to have mirror eyes, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that it would be like sunglasses. Like, you're out and you're gonna be getting the glare from the skyscrapers and
what
the sunrise.
What if you're doing nighttime stuff?
Yeah, if you're doing night, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's just going to be reflected.
Exactly. And it makes a little bit more sense than in the comics. Because, like, in the comic books, originally, like, it is just cloth that he can see through.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really make sense. Like you can get, like, the thinnest white t-shirt you can find and try to look through, and you can see through it, but it's very distorted, and, like, your depth perception is, like, way off. But going to the Peter Parker, he's such a pathetic guy. Like, he's a fucking dweeb. He's a fucking...
Does it, like... When you watched it, did it seem like he was, like, smart? Like, he was, like, a super scientist or super good at math?
Like, he was,
me neither.
It seemed more like he might be on the spectrum and was really into insects.
And photography.
And photography, because it's, like, when he's at the, like, they're at the field trip, and, like, the way he says it is a little weird. He's like, some spiders, they could change their colors. It's a defense mechanism. Like, it was really weird. And then, like, when James Franco as Harry Osborn was like, why would I want to know that? And he's like, who wouldn't?
Yeah,
it was really weird. And then, like, but no, you don't get that sense that he's a genius. Like, everyone's making fun of him and he's, like, nerdy and everything like that. But
yeah, you get the sense that he sucks. Yeah. They all let you know he
like,
sucks.
But he could easily have just been, like, somebody who's slow.
Oh, shit.
Like, he could have been. Like, there's nothing that really shows that he's a genius. And, like, even, like, there's a point when Aunt May is talking about, like, first time he sees Mary Jane, and, like, she says he's, like, 7 or 8 years old, and, like, a 7 or 8 year old seeing a really pretty girl, like, even if you're, like, at 7 and, like, willing to admit that you think a girl's pretty, you wouldn't be like, is that an angel?
Yeah, like, that was stupid.
So he definitely, I can see this Peter Parker being a little bit on, like, a little slow, like,
you're making a case for it.
In later movies, they make him seem a little bit smarter, but in this particular movie, he's not, you know, especially smart. I don't
it doesn't seem like he's, like, you know, getting internships and stuff and, like, you know, being super into science. It doesn't seem like he could make a web shooter if he had to.
No, it doesn't seem like he could if he really needed to. The problem with I had with his Spider-Man, and, like, I had the same problem with the Andrew Garfield one, his strength is very inconsistent. I don't think they actually say specifically how strong he is, but they do mention that Norman Osborn gets, like, an 800, or the Oz formula that turns him into the Goblin gives him, like, an 800% strength increase.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's able to go toe-to-toe with him, so presumably he's close to that.
Yeah.
But he, like, it takes him a while to take down Bonesaw McGraw. Later on, like, it's hard to not compare it to the other movies. Like, in Spider-Man 2, he, like, holds up an entire building, stops a train with his strength. But he also, like, when punching bad guys or taking multiple punches, and of course he pulls his punches, he's not trying to kill anybody, but he should still be able to, like, one hit any human being.
Probably.
And that's not something he does. Like, it shows him having to do multiple, like, hits with a lot of the bad guys, like the bank robbers and stuff like that. Bonesaw McGraw, he, like, kicks, like, 6 times in rapid succession.
He kicks the shit out of him.
And, like, he's fine. Amy's not fine. He goes down, but, like, he shouldn't have been able to take that many hits. Going into, like, his Aunt May, pretty classic Aunt May, old lady. Like, what did you feel about her? Like, what do you know about Aunt May?
What I don't get... Okay, so Aunt May is presumably the age of, you know, would be a sister to his mother, right?
So Aunt May marries into the family. So Uncle Ben is his actual uncle, his father's brother.
Okay, Uncle Ben is his father's brother. So Aunt May, I don't understand why they're like two generations older.
So in the comic books, that's actually accurate. So like Richard Parker was born when Ben was in college.
Oh.
So there is like a 18 to 20 year gap between Richard and Ben Parker, his brother, okay. his father and uncle. So it actually is accurate in terms of like comic book.
Because
like,
she just seemed old.
Oh, she's super old. Like in the comic books, like so in the first, you know, like
she's like 200 years old or something.
She's super
right?
old and like she's supposed to be super frail. Like there are a lot of different issues in early Spider-Man comics where he's just trying to come up with money to pay for her like medication and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
she's super old and like he keeps her his identity from her specifically because he's like afraid it would kill her. One of the things that was interesting is even in this movie, there's no real reason for her to think that Spider-Man is her nephew, but she kind of hints at it in the hospital that she knows. Yeah. And there's no, and it gets even stronger when you go into like the second and third movie. Like she never explicitly says she knows he's Spider-Man, but like it's heavily implied she knows.
Yeah.
And in the comic book, she eventually finds out, but it's not until like 20, it's like 2001, 2002 when she finds out in the comic books.
Jesus.
So that was a fairly recent thing. So it's interesting that in the movies they kind of like did that. Kirsten Dunst's Mary Jane was terrible. I'm just gonna say it.
Just not good.
No, Mary Jane was like not what Mary Jane is in the comic books or cartoons or anything. Like Mary Jane's supposed to be this bombshell and she's supposed to be like come from like a hard like life, like her father was abusive and a drunk and all that stuff. But yeah. she's supposed to be have like this defense mechanism where she goes and she can flip on a switch and go to like super valley girl kind of thing, and she kind of does it a little bit in that scene where like Flash comes up in the car, but she's yeah. such a boring and weak character. Like she's got no strength. Like as a female lead, it's not fun to watch her. Like she's just, there's nothing to her. Like I don't understand why both Peter and Harry are obsessed with her.
Yeah, there's no real reason to be.
Like she's got no personality in the movie.
She's trying to be an actress or something.
Yeah, she's
right?
trying to be, and then she's just like failing at it, and like she's just as like miserable and like awful as Peter is.
Yeah, and Harry is too, for that matter. All the kids in this are not, well, yeah, the kids I guess that
they're
you're supposed to give
a kids.
Damn about are just miserable chumps.
Yeah, actually, Harry Osborn, played by James Franco, is actually like on point. Like. That's kind of what he's in the comic books. Originally, he was a little bit more like cocky and like an elitist.
Yeah, he's still miserable.
But in the later on, he gets to being like this super insecure. He's super worried about what his father thinks, super worried that like friends are going to steal his girlfriends. Like, so Gwen Stacy came before Mary Jane, but he was dating Gwen Stacy. And then, of course, Peter got her and everything like that. So there is that tension. So actually, it was pretty on point. I was fine with him. I guess going into the Green Goblin was pretty cool. Power, a lot of people make fun of the Power Ranger like costume.
I didn't have a problem with that. Whatever.
It kind of made sense. So originally, I don't remember which movie you said. Like in one of our previous episodes, you mentioned that there was like one of the movies we did, you had like the book of like all the concept art and stuff.
Oh,
like
it was a Judge Dredd.
Oh, yeah, Judge Dredd. So I had the same thing for this movie. And the original yeah. concepts, like they actually did these like animatronic like goblin masks that looked like actual like goblin kind of stuff. Like it was really cool. And really creepy. Like this movie was originally gonna be a lot darker. Like if you see the screen test for Tobey Maguire, like he's like breaking bones and like swearing and stuff like that. It's huh. pretty insane.
That's cool.
But the Green Goblin was pretty on point with the comic book. Like they did they crammed like decades worth of Green Goblin stuff into one movie. The way he dies is like on point. Like that happens. Like that's exactly what happened in the comic books.
Yeah.
Like he impaled
yeah.
himself. So like this movie had a lot right. And
yeah.
this one, I honestly thought I was going to like less than the newer one with Andrew Garfield, but I ended up liking this series better than Andrew Garfield this time around. Like, as much as he wasn't funny and quippy, like, a lot of the tone was right compared to the comic books. Like, the whole, with great power comes great responsibility and, you know, living up to
yeah,
his
yeah.
and sacrificing his life for the greater good of New York. That's a lot of what goes on in the comic book. Like there's Peter Parker, like never actually gets his degree in the comic books because he can't go to school because he's got to be Spider-Man. And he like sabotages a ton of relationships being Spider-Man. And because that's what he knows Uncle Ben would want him to do. And this franchise does that very, very well.
Yeah, I agree.
And like, you know, and it just like going into the next couple movies, like, it does all the classic villains and it has kind of that 60s vibe, like
a little bit.
I just gotta say the thing that dates this movie the most though, like the CGI is pretty bad at some points. Like it's atrocious in the part where he's in the homemade suit and he climbs up the wall. But the thing yep. that dates the movie the most is Macy Gray. Just so you know, I got a few things. Somebody died during the filming of this movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
First movie to ever break $100 million on the opening weekend. So that's interesting. And one of my... And,
is it?
I guess so. one of the other things was this movie actually had some major changes because of 9/11. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Did you ever see the original trailer for this movie?
Where it had the towers
it? The towers.
Yeah, they had to erase those.
They just completely erased that scene. And then they wanted to make it more like patriotic at the end. So like the little scene where he's swinging at the end of the movie and he lands on the American flag. And then also having like the New Yorkers throwing garbage at the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
They did that specifically to be, you know, more patriotic and be like, because this movie came out like 6 or 7 months after 9/11.
Huh.
So yeah, that's all I got for this movie. All right. So I think it's time that we move into the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man series. I think we should just jump right into it. Plot. Very similar to the original one. This one spends a little bit more time focusing on his parents. So, you know, it shows them like running off. But the rest of the movie is pretty much the same. The really only difference is Oscorp is now responsible for the spiders that give him the powers. So at some point he figures out that his dad worked there. He found like a briefcase. So he decides to go there and figure out what's going on. And he gets bitten by a spider. He's also trying to date Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy. His father's ex-partner, it becomes the Lizard, and he has to stop it. And that's pretty much it. Like, the plot's pretty... This one's a lot more streamlined, I think. Like, there's less, like, twists and turns, like, with the relationship. Like, she likes him, he likes her. The whole process is streamlined a little bit in terms of, like, he doesn't go to a wrestling match.
Yeah.
You know, he just goes to get some milk, and he watches some guy get, you know, rob the place, and he does nothing to do anything about... Or, he doesn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Uncle Ben, played by Martin Sheen, for some reason will not say, with great power comes great responsibility.
No.
He won't say it. And then he's stupid and goes like, this guy stole like $100 and like a milk. Like nobody was worried. Like that was not worth dying over.
No, not and, in like, any world is that worth dying over.
He should not have lunched for that gun.
No, he deserved to get murdered.
He deserved to get murked.
That was a very poor decision.
He had a wife and a nephew to take care of.
Yeah, what was he thinking? Stupid old fucking Uncle Ben.
Fucking Uncle Ben.
Goddamn idiot.
Fucking old.
God, I miss him.
What was really cool about this movie, though, and I just want to name a few things, is that a lot of the special effects on this were done practically. Like, they actually had guys up on cranes swinging and stuff like that. This was actually, like, one of the, first movies. Not one of the first movies, but this movie was actually shot with a 3D camera. Originally, so it actually looked really, really good in 3D, like on par with like what Avatar looked like. So this movie did a lot of interesting stuff in terms of like being made, and the director's name was Mark Webb, so that's kind of interesting that he directed Spider-Man.
I don't know, I just felt like everything in this movie, like plot wise was just like to conveniently move the plot forward, you know? Like,
yeah, I agree.
It was it's like, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. Like, it was just plot, 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 plot. And it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of, like, an arc, you know? Or I don't know.
I do think that he had an arc, Peter Parker, played by Andrew Garfield. And, like, Dennis Leary was completely right. So Dennis Leary plays Captain Stacy, Gwen Stacy's father.
Yeah.
And he has this little thing when they're at dinner saying that, you know, the Spider-Man guy is a menace because, you know, they were going after this, like, whole car-stealing ring. And Spider-Man ruined the whole thing because, you know, he just jumped in and arrested this, this one guy. And then he also mentions, he goes, and this guy's not actually trying to protect people. Like, he's going after a certain type. Like, he's going after blonde-haired guys with, specifically, and that's because the guy who killed his uncle was blonde-haired and had a star tattoo on his wrist. So, even when he's going, like, before he gets into Spider-Man suit and he's doing, like, the vigilante thing with, like, the ski mask, he keeps going after these guys who are blonde-haired. And, like, at one point, he's getting chased by this, like, gang, and this guy falls off the roof, and he catches him, and he, like, it implies that if this guy had the star, he was going to drop him, so he, like, grabs him, picks him up, looks at the star, or, like, sees that the guy does not have a star, and then lifts him back up onto the roof. So this Spider-Man was, like, straight up out for revenge, and then it took the Lizard being, like, a threat for him to realize he should be using his powers for good. So there's definitely an arc. But that's something that I actually originally was kind of on board with when this movie came out in like 2012. but I actually hated it this time around. Like, that is not what Spider-Man's about at all. Like, I don't know why I was cool with this like 5 years ago, but now I was like, that's not cool. I hate that. Like, he was willing to kill somebody.
Oh, he was trying to kill somebody.
And that's not cool. And, you know, some of the things this did well was the quips. Like, he was much more quippy and funny.
Yeah.
Like, that scene with the carjacker was interesting. He's like, oh, my weakness, you know, small knives and, you know,
yeah,
stuff like that. And he had the web shooters, and it showed he was smart. And even before he became Spider-Man, built the web shooters, he had, like, the remote control door lock and stuff like that.
Yeah, he had little gizmos, little gadgets and stuff. So
that was, like, I think that kind of thing is what made me love it. Like, I love this movie. I am concerned that he was, like, straight, like, willing to, like, murk people. Like, yeah. That's not cool.
He had made that decision. He was going out every night trying to do it, wasn't he? Like,
yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Know.
That's what
it
he
was just
doing.
Weird.
And this movie, the inconsistency in his strength, although
it's all over
really,
the place.
Like, he is super strong and able to jump, like, super far and, like, stand on one finger and do all these, like, crazy feats and go toe to toe with this, this lizard who's able to, like, tear through walls and just rip through lockers.
Yeah,
like, he gets thrown through walls and stuff like that, but he comes home with black eyes from just regular people.
Yeah.
So your point earlier on the original one, like, this was the, how the original one you said was kind of like The Fly, and it shows the mutation. Like, I think this one took that even a step further, where he's, like, in his room and he's, like, tweaking out because he can hear everything and see everything. Like, he can catch a fly out of the midair and he can hear everything, and, like, his fingers sticking to the keyboards and him breaking a bunch of stuff in the house and then realizing he's got to, like, be really careful. Like, that part I really liked. And I also liked his, like, weird movements. Like, there's points when he's in the costume, he's, like, does this, like, weird head jerks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So stylistically, I thought this was really cool. And originally I hated the costume, but, like, when you saw it in stills and stuff, but once you saw it in motion in the trailers, I actually really liked this
costume. Yeah, it's cool. I like this one better than
that. It's weird. And it's not classic at all, but, like, mm-mm. I was kind of cool with them going a different direction. Like, it looked really cool, especially in, like, the scenes at night, like, with the moonlight shining off it. Like, it was sleek.
Yeah, it was definitely cool. I liked it better than the previous one, for sure.
What did you think about the Peter Parker, though?
I didn't feel like this Peter Parker was particularly likable.
I don't think he wasn't likable. Like, I felt like he was charming.
Like, kinda.
But the problem that I had with him is there was no difference between Peter Parker pre-Spider-Man and afterwards.
Like, yeah.
He was a smartass before, and he was standing up to Flash Thompson before, you know, and he just didn't have the strength to, like, really fight him back. He was, like, a smartass and willing to stand up for the little guy.
Yeah,
ahead
he
kind of
seemed like he always wanted to fight people, you know? Like, I don't know. It was really weird.
That's, you know, this time around, like, I was kind of like, that's not really what it's like. Like, and that happens in the comic books. Like, Peter Parker was a super dweeb. Nobody really noticed him. Everyone made fun of him. But even in the original comic books in the 60s, as soon as he gets his powers and he's got the strength and everything like that, he gets more confident, and immediately, like, girls start really liking him. Like, Liz Allen, Flash Thompson's girlfriend, you know, wants to date him because he's just is different. And, you know, if he was like that after the transfer, after being bitten, I would have been cool with it. But it's kind of like the same problem I had with Deadpool.
Where them getting the powers doesn't really change them.
It doesn't change them as a person.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I mean, this movie wasn't, like, without its flaws, but it wasn't a terrible movie either.
It's not a terrible movie at all. Like, it's still a fun, entertaining movie. Like, one of the things I think that this does way better than the Tobey Maguire ones is the actual, like, acrobatics and the movements of Spider-Man, like when he fights.
It looks more like impossible, you know. It looks like a lot of those cool Spider-Man cover, you know, like the cover arts from the comics.
Like when like McFarlane took over and
they're like weird contorted positions, you know.
Well, and just like the way he fights and actually used his webs, like in the original, like the Tobey Maguire one, he uses his webs to swing, and then there's a few points where he like makes that weird web to prevent like the goblin from coming after him for like a second, and he like sprays it on people's faces and stuff, but that's about it. And this one he does that, but he also does he uses the webs a lot when fighting the lizard. Like, he like webs his hand to stuff, and then he does that thing where he like hangs from the ceiling and he spins around and he's doing all kinds of flips and weird acrobatics as he's fighting. And I felt like this was the Spider-Man combat that, you know, you would see in, like, the really good Spider-Man video games and the way you'd, you know, pictured it in the comic books, like him bouncing around. Like, I felt like the Spider-Man, like, action scenes were much better in this than in the original Maguire movies.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I don't really have a ton to talk about on this. Like, we've kind of already talked about
I think we hit most of the stuff. Like, this one was, I would say, the most forgettable of the three. Like, if where's it? Did it have to? I didn't need this one.
No, this was only because they needed to make the movie to keep the rights. Like, the history of this movie is really interesting.
But it seems like this was, like, it definitely felt like an obligatory Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, totally. And it rehashed so much of the original movie.
Yeah.
Like, having that whole origin scene and everything like that. The issue I already talked about was, like, how was he getting these black eyes when he...
You're still stuck on these black eyes.
It shows his spider sense, like, in the subway, and he's, like, dodging everything, not even on purpose. Like, once he is getting in fights, like, how? I don't get it.
How is this happening?
You know the other thing I found really funny about this movie? He gets in a fight with the lizard in the sewer and, like, goes down, like, this shit water. And then immediately decides, I'm going to go visit Gwen Stacy. And, like, he goes to her house, like, covered in shit sewer water. Like, he probably smells terrible.
Like,
and
a sewer.
Like, starts, like, making out with her and stuff like that. And then...
You know, that's another thing that I've always thought about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
They live in a sewer.
Yeah, they just smell like shit all the
time. All the time, dude. All the time. What do? You don't want to, I don't know, you don't really want to hang out with the turtles.
No.
Ever. You don't want to high five. Would you high five a Ninja Turtle?
No.
Knowing where they live.
Well, you can't high five a Ninja Turtle. They only have three digits.
You could hide 3-1 then.
Yeah. But yeah, that scene with Gwen Stacy, like, this is my note. Peter visits Gwen, probably smelling like shit. She cleans wounds. It's pretty gross and not sexy, but they kiss anyways.
Yeah, that's...
Getting into, like, the support character, Sally Fields as Aunt May was awesome. I love Sally Fields.
She was good.
This is another one of those movies where it's, like, just like the original, it kind of suggests that she knows that he's Spider-Man, especially at the end of the movie, but it doesn't...
Didn't outright say it.
In the second movie, once again, like, not, she doesn't outright say it, but she gives him, like, this pep talk that, you know, kind of thing. It's fine, but it just really rehashed stuff. I do think the love interest in this was much better. Like, Emma Stone is just so much more likable than Kirsten Dunst, and, like, those two had a ton of chemistry. Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, like, they dated for, like, 3 or 4 years after this movie. They were just delightful. I think that's part of what I liked about this movie so much, is just seeing them, and, like, they really did, like, light up when they were with each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's not what makes for a great Spider-Man movie, I guess.
No, not at all. I would say this was my least favorite.
I think you're right. It's definitely the most forgettable of them. Like, it just redoes so many things. Really love that scene when he is going after the lizard for, like, the final time, and, like, he gets shot by that, like, taser, and he fights, like, 30 cops without his mask, and he kind of has that, like, showdown with the dad, with Dennis Leary, and he's like, look, I gotta go get her. Your daughter's in trouble. And he's like, they just come to an understanding. And then he's like, you can never date her. Like, it's too dangerous. And that's the right move. Like, he's right. Like, he should not be dating anybody. Because everybody finds out who he is.
Everybody finds out who he is. That's the problem with Spider-Man, dude. A lot of people know that he's Spider-Man. Well,
that's the thing. In the comic books, not that many people know. But in the movies,
everyone he faces knows.
In all three of the Tobey Maguire movies, every villain has a personal connection to Peter Parker.
It's kind of like Batman.
Yeah, so, like, in the first movie, it's his best friend's father. Like, and, you know, we're not spending a ton of time on the other movies, but, like, in Spider-Man 2, it's Doc Ock who works for his best friend, who also gets an interview with him as a favor, and then they become, like, bros.
Yeah.
And then, like, he turns evil. And then in the third movie, they retcon Sandman to be the one who actually is the one who killed Uncle Ben. And then, of course, you got Venom is, like, trying to date the same girl. Like,
yeah.
And then this one is, like, his dad's best friend and partner. Like, it doesn't make sense that, like, why does every villain have to know Spider-Man personally? Like, it kind of takes the stakes out of it, I guess. Like, it's less interesting, but that's all I got for this movie. Like you said, it's forgettable. I don't think this movie needs to be made. Like, they were going to make a fourth Spider-Man movie, but then Sam Raimi just decided he didn't want to do it, and they decided to do this instead.
Yeah.
So I think we should just go into the new one, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun watching this movie.
This is definitely the best of all of them.
I've seen it twice already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really liked it. So the first time I went and I watched it on Thursday night, I went to like a 9 p.m. show, you know, before it technically came out. And I went and watched it just once, just to see it. I didn't want to take notes. I didn't want to be critical of it. I just wanted to watch it and enjoy it. And then I went and saw it again 2 days ago, and I brought my notebook and I did my best to take notes in the dark theater. And I still fucking loved it.
It was the most fun of all of them.
It is the first movie to make it seem like being Spider-Man is fun.
Yeah, and I think that's the closest to the comics and stuff like that. I mean, also he's 15 and he looks 15. He's small in stature, right? Like, and then there were a lot of shots of him just bebopping around the neighborhood, you know, actually being the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. This is the first time we saw that.
Great.
Yeah, and this is the first time in all of these damn movies that we saw someone being the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Yeah. Where like people might be like mowing your grass or whatever, and Spider-Man would zip by. Hey, cool, Spider-Man! Like they have that guy like buying the hot dog. He's like, hey, Spider-Man, do a backflip.
Does it? Yeah, you're the best.
It's awesome. Yeah, like there was actual joy there, and also. You know, this Spider-Man wanted to be Spider-Man. He was waiting for the call. Like, he's like, let me be Spider-Man. Like, he was wanting to do it. And he was frustrated that they weren't including him like the other heroes, you know? And like,
yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was really cool.
There's a lot of things this movie did right and different than any of the other ones. Like you said, yeah. Him, like, the joy and the fun. And, like, this movie, they said that they really wanted to go for, like, you know, the old Hughes movies, you know, Pretty in Pink, The Breakfast Club, and stuff like that. And I definitely see that. Like, this movie seemed very high school. Like, it didn't seem like those super ridiculous high school movies where, like, none of these characters actually make sense. Like,
right.
Like, Flash Thompson, like, realistically, most bullies aren't beating people up and shoving them into lockers. It's typically just, like, psychological warfare. And, like, the Flash Thompson in this was just, like, calling him Penis Parker.
Yeah, he was just a dickhead.
Yeah. That's really what most bullies really are. And so, like, there's a lot of things this did really, really well. So, like, you know, obviously this whole thing is going to be spoilers. Like, in a nutshell, this movie, like, kicks off with right after the original Avengers. Adrian Toomes, played by Michael Keaton. And Michael Keaton was a badass in this movie.
He was great in this movie.
Oh, I fucking loved him. Like, his character, Adrian Toomes, the Vulture, is nothing like it is in any other form of the character.
No.
But it was still really cool. He gets this job to, like, basically clean up New York City after the Chitauri invasion for their first Avengers. And the government decides that they're going to clean it up. And he, like, invests, like, a ton of money into, like, trucks and hiring a bunch of guys. So he just decides, like, he's going to keep the alien stuff he already has and just basically become an arms dealer.
Yeah.
And then it fast forwards to, like, Spider-Man in the Civil War stuff. Like, they condense, like, that whole scene down to, like, 2 or 3 minutes of him, like, making, like, a little video.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and just is, like, a friendly little neighborhood Spider-Man. Like you said, he's wants to do more. He's calling Happy Hogan and Iron Man, like, every day, trying to tell him, like, what's up. He goes and eventually stumbles across, like, one of the arms deals and just starts trying to track down the Vulture and these arms deal. And the whole time he's being ignored, like, everyone telling him he shouldn't be doing this. And, you know, he legitimately tries to warn the adult several times and they just kind of keep putting him at the kiddie table.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes it kind of work, you know, like, yeah, you're as frustrated as he is, you know, and it's cool.
And like he definitely makes mistakes.
Oh yeah. But he's 15 years old.
Like, oh, he's 15 years old.
He's way out of
his
element, you know?
And, you know, one of the things that I like about this movie, so the Vulture, I believe, was in the second issue of Amazing Spider-Man. It was the second villain he fought after Chameleon, but it's the first villain he actually lost to. So he actually lost in the comic books to the Vulture multiple times before he came up with, like, a gadget to, like, neutralize, like, the magnetic, like, waves in the Vulture wings in the comic books.
Yeah.
So I do like that he got his ass kicked by the Vulture multiple times in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Before, you know, figuring out what he should be doing. The other thing I really liked about this movie is he made a ton of mistakes. Like, he's not 100% sure of himself. Like, there's that, like, Ferris Bueller-like scene where they actually show a Ferris Bueller scene where he's, like, running through, like, Queens to go get to this, like, arms dealer. And he's, like, destroying all kinds of property. Yeah, like, he lands on roofs and slides and shingles fall. He lands on a shed and then it collapses. And, you know, he knocks a treehouse down. It's really fun. And then he, like, gets to that field and he's like, it's really funny because Spider-Man only works really in, like, places where there's a lot of buildings or trees. Yeah. And he gets, like, to an empty field. And he's like, this sucks. And he's just like, you see him running across a golf course. Like, that was really funny. Like, this movie was paced really well. Like, there's never a point where it lags. Really
very
fun.
Very very good. I think this costume was awesome. Look, both of them were cool. I liked the home.
I
like
the home one too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I thought that worked really well. I liked that the eyes were expressive because they had, like, the apertures, you know, that could like change the shape of them.
The thing that I was concerned about, and I mentioned it in one of the news segments on a previous episode, was that Tony Stark was going to like steal the show. And I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I don't think that he did. Like, he was in it the right amount. You know, he popped up here and there, you know, but he didn't take over the movie. And he wasn't anywhere near, like, the climax of the movie at all. I think he was a really grounding element for this movie. And, you know, was a very mature Tony Stark compared to the Tony Starks we're used to.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he was great in it. And I think he really reeled in Spider-Man.
I mean, I think it was a little bit weird how much, like, Stark tech was making Spider-Man possible for a little while there, you know, like,
yeah.
How much was integrated into the Stark suit was pretty wild.
I think that at the point when he figures out how to hack the suit, and this was something that I was really glad they did. So through multiple points in the movie, it shows him making the webbing in his like chemistry class and like hiding it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it shows that he's still making his own webs and figuring this stuff out. And he's got like his little like original costume stashed at his school. And then it shows him hacking the costume. Like he finds out there's a tracker and he like takes out the tracker. Yeah. And between him and his buddy, they hack the suit to unlock all the extra stuff. And later on, he hacks like out of this like government building. So he's actually like super smart. So I was worried that they were going to diminish that a little bit, and they didn't. Like they actually really showed that he was smart. And they also made a big deal of him being the smartest kid in the school. And they demonstrated it. They demonstrated it in class. They demonstrated it with him like on the bus, you know, doing like quizzes and stuff. So he goes to that scene where he's like following the guys near Washington, D.C. And he gets all these different webbings and he doesn't know what to use. And he keeps saying, like, just give me my normal webs back. It's like, so it shows that he actually does prefer the simpler stuff. So I loved that. Like, I was really worried, and like I was going into this movie thing, I'm like, I know I'm going to like it because it's going to be fun, but I don't think it's going to be Spider-Man. And I was pleasantly surprised. Like, he was totally Spider-Man, like, the entire movie.
Absolutely. I agree.
And one of the things I really liked, and it never really made sense in the other movies, is just because you get superpowers doesn't mean you automatically, like, are completely cool with heights. And, like, this Spider-Man was, like, afraid of heights initially. Like, he's climbing up the Washington Monument. He's like, I've never been this high before. Yeah. This is really scary. And then he's, like, super tentative about, you know, taking the web and like putting all his weight on it and swinging into the window. I love that. Like, it totally makes sense. Like, just because you can stick to walls and you have super strength doesn't mean you're going to want to like be hundreds and hundreds of feet in the air.
Yeah.
And then his Peter Parker was great too. He was obviously much more confident in the suit than he was. He was super shy with the girls and everything like that, but he's not shy at all in the costume. Like, I think this was perfect. Like,
yeah,
in terms of the portrayal.
I think that also, like, kind of the difference is that this, even this Peter Parker seems, like, just more good-natured or just, like, not such a bummer to hang around, you know? Like, the Tobey Maguire one and the Andrew Garfield one both seemed, like, really grim, you know, characters because of, like, you know, being orphans or whatever. Like, they had, like, a weird moodiness to them that I felt like this one kind of, like, I feel like this Peter Parker has processed that grief better.
Well,
you know, like, has moved on and is trying to just live.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, this movie doesn't rehab, like, you get all the origin stuff without actually seeing it.
Yeah.
So like, when
I mean, we've had it enough times, Lord,
everybody knows. And like, there are multiple cartoons, so everybody knows about Spider-Man. But for those people who might not know, like, they used Ned as a perfect like foil to get all this stuff out. So like, he's asking all these questions about his powers, and he mentions briefly, like, so you got bitten by a spider. Is it alive? Can I get bitten? Does it hurt? You know, stuff like that. And then they do mention, like, why doesn't Aunt May know? Well, if you, with everything that's happened, you know, she can't risk losing me too, kind of thing. So obviously, like, alluding to the death of her husband and his uncle.
Right.
But not, like, outright showing it. So I really appreciated, like, mentioning it, but not having to go through and do a whole origin story again.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
But this movie had so many great Easter eggs. Like, I could go on for an hour just talking about this movie. Like, no problem. I could do that. But let's, I think we should move into the other characters, and then we can maybe go back to, you know, some like highlights of the movie. Because I definitely think, you know, people are going to want to hear about some of the highlights. But, you know, the love interest, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
She was barely in
it. It wasn't like poorly done. It just didn't dominate the movie, which I was kind of glad about.
Well, what I also really liked about that is, so far we've only got like his major loves. So you got Mary Jane in the original one, and Gwen Stacy showed up in the third Spider-Man movie, and then you got Gwen Stacy for two movies in Amazing Spider-Man. But Spider-Man actually dated a lot of people before Mary Jane. So he dated Liz Allen, which is the character in this movie.
Yeah.
He also dates Betty Brant, who's like that blonde reporter on like the little school news. Yeah, yeah. Then he dates like Gwen Stacy. And then after an appropriate amount of time, he goes after Mary Jane. So I do like that Liz Allen left. And, you know, potentially in the next movie, he can date Betty Brant. And then maybe he'll date, fine, maybe Gwen Stacy will show up or Mary Jane will show up in, you know, like a third movie or something like that. So I do like that we can maybe set this Spider-Man up as like, I don't want to say a bachelor. He's like, you know, a sophomore in high school, but, you know, somebody who doesn't just go find one love for his entire life. Like, that's not realistic for most people.
Right. No, it was, it handled all that stuff better, man, than the other two movies.
How do you feel about Aunt Bay?
Really good. Real good.
I like how they tried to make her look less attractive by making her hair really long and straight, giving her those glasses.
Can't be done.
It's Marissa Tomei. She's beautiful.
You can try. It won't work.
But I think she was actually a really great... I think she's actually the most... Even though she's young, she's the most accurate portrayal of Aunt May in any of the movies. She's very worried about him getting hurt. Like, in the comic book, she's always, like, thinking that Peter is weak and, you know, sickly and everything. Like, oh, you got to be careful and looking out for him. And this, she's the same way. She's really concerned about his safety. And then she finds out, like, I love that at the end of this movie, the end of the movie is... He's in the costume. She just walks in and she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I love it. Like, it's getting rid of that. Like, it's almost like the scene in the original Iron Man movie when he comes out and he's like, I'm Iron Man.
Yeah.
And gets rid of the secret identity. Like, he's still going to have it. But I like that dynamic that we're actually going to have an Aunt May who knows what he's doing. And that's going to have some dramatic tension in the next couple movies, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I like that she's not just some old idiot.
other than that, like, Zendaya, the MJ at the end of the movie, like that weird twist.
Yeah.
She was fine. The friend, Ned Leeds, the best friend, was cool. Great. He was great. I loved him. I thought he was really funny. I think he was the right kind of character to have, be the sidekick. And the villain was great. The Vulture was awesome. Like, I hated the costume up until the movie. Like, all the trailers I got, I was super nerdy. I was on forums and I was like, this doesn't make sense. You've got Falcon in the universe. Why do you need to have a Vulture that has these, like, this like 30-foot wingspan. But in reality, like, it worked. Like, it made sense. Like, he used those wings as shields and like cutting down buildings and just destroying all kinds of stuff. Like, the Vulture was handled very, very well. Like, it's a huge departure, but it was really cool to watch.
I thought that costume looked amazing. I liked the whole wing apparatus that he had going on and the boots with the talons,
the claws, cool, and then and he had like the hand things, and then there was the Shocker as well. And I'm glad they had that. Like, all the other movies, and the Andrew Garfield one, Amazing Spider-Man 2, kind of did it with the Rhino, but I always wanted a Spider-Man movie to open up with him taking on like weaker, like, you know, C, D class kind of villains. Just showing them that, like, you know, this is a normal part of his job and not every villain is taking over the city. And I like that he was able to take on like the Shocker fairly easy. And but then that Vulture, that twist at the end, I was all on board.
Awesome.
And then I hate it once again. Why does every villain have to be tied directly to Spider-Man?
I don't know, man. Spider-Man's
but
fault.
But what I did like about it is it wasn't just like so obvious. Like in the other movies, they just knew who he was. They just found out who he was, or he had a cut on his arm. They figured like this was much more nuanced figuring out who he was. And then that whole just confrontation scene, like, you saved my daughter, so I owe you, so I'm not going to kill you unless you mess with me kind of thing. Like, and then the only two problems I had with this movie was I really wish they didn't make him related to his girlfriend. It just made the world too small.
Yeah.
Not every villain needs to know and have a personal connection to the villain or to the hero. And I didn't like that he didn't beat the Vulture. Like, the Vulture beat himself at the end.
Yeah. He doesn't really get to leave with the win.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, it's so fun. Like, although the action scenes were great, like, I loved him in that warehouse trying to figure out his suit.
Yeah.
That was really fun. Jennifer Connelly played the voice of the suit.
Oh, which, that's cool.
Yeah. Although I hated her the suit, like, telling him to kiss the girl. And then, like, when he's saving, like, putting that boat back together, she's like, good job, 98% secure. And then, like, it's like, come on. That's stupid. That was a little hokey. But that's it. Like, those are the only problems I really had with the movie. Like, there might be more, but I really cannot read these notes that I wrote in the movie theater in the dark.
I had zero problems with this movie, honestly. I thought it was a perfect Spider-Man movie.
I also loved that he was pretty consistent with his strength. Like, this kid was super strong. He doesn't get any, like, he survives a plane crash with, you know, like, a bloody lip kind of thing. Like, he lifts, like, an entire building, and that scene is, like, lifted from multiple comic books and TV shows. Like,
Spider-Man's very strong.
He's very strong. So before Civil War came out, Kevin Feige, like, you know, the big brains behind the Marvel Universe, said that until Captain Marvel appears in Infinity War, Spider-Man is the third strongest character in the MCU. So it goes Hulk, Thor, and then Spider-Man in terms of strength.
Wow.
So he is a, like, force to be reckoned with. Like, he is incredibly strong. And I liked that, you know, he didn't have any problem taking on any of, like, just the regular guys. Like, he one hits almost all of them, or he, like, picks them up and throws them. And
sure.
Once again, really good use of the webs and, you know, pulls them in. I like that one scene. And he's quipping throughout the entire movie. Like, he doesn't quite quip with the Vulture at the end, but throughout the rest of the movie, he does. Like, he quips with the Vulture that second time he confronts them when he's, like, going into the truck. You know, he calls him Big Bird and stuff like that. And this is the only Spider-Man movie that you see him quip with the major villain.
Yeah.
I loved it. I think
just because they're not trying to be super grim, you know, like the other movies were. The other ones, it was just too melodramatic.
Yeah, I agree completely. That interrogation scene was great. I love that. It was so funny. And then, like, you're a criminal, you deserve this, as he leaves Donald Glover webbed up.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty big Easter egg. So there's another Spider-Man character named Miles Morales, and that is his uncle. So they pretty much have confirmed that that other Spider-Man character is in the universe somewhere. So that's pretty cool. Katrina pointed this out, and, like, I think this is, you know, just us being a little, like, being a pain in the ass, but he steals Flash Thompson's car at the end of the movie and then calls Ned from the car.
Yeah.
They would be able to figure out that he called Ned, and then they could go, the cops could go to Ned and be like, who stole the car?
Well, yeah.
You know who this is. So, but that's, you know, that's getting really nitpicky.
Yeah.
But man, I love this movie. I love that scene where he's being the neighborhood Spider-Man guy and he, like, stops the bike and he doesn't know where it is, who it belongs to. So he leaves a note. Him stopping the guy breaking into his own car was really great.
Yeah, and then having to get yelled at by, like, everyone in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, have all the windows opened up and stuff, and everybody's screaming at him.
And I also liked how unsure he was. Like, when he goes and stops that ATM robbery, and, you know, obviously that doesn't go well. But when he goes in, he walks in, and he, you know, he can't decide if he's going to start with a joke. He, like, leans up on the wall one way, and then he changes position. Like, he's kind of come into his own persona as a hero.
Well, yeah, he's making it up as he goes along. Like, this is, like, early days of Spider-Man. Like, if they're world building or creating a universe, you know, this is the beginning of Spider-Man in this one. And I like that. I think it's really fun.
And, like, just his interactions with the villain were so great. Like, that whole scene in the car, that, like, interrogation scene where he's, like, slowly realizing that he is Spider-Man. It was such a great scene. Like, Michael Keaton was amazing in this. And Tom Holland is so delightful. That kid is great. Every time he's on screen, I'm just like, man, this kid's awesome.
He's very likable.
He's very likable. Like, I honestly can't see how everyone would be picking on him. Like, this school, like, they mention it very briefly at the beginning, is that, like, this is a school for, like, gifted people. And that's a big part of, like, why Michael Keaton's character is doing this. It's like to pay the tuition or something like that.
Yeah.
So he is the smartest kid in the school and demonstrates it. That kid's super handsome and super ripped. Like, you know, everyone would know he's ripped from, like, PE and stuff like that. Like, there's no way
you would know.
I would know. I do know. I saw it in the movie. But there's no way that, like, he wouldn't be, like, swinging into Poon. Like, all the girls at that school.
That's what you think? I don't know, man.
Like, come on. Like, that kid's a good-looking kid.
I think maybe he's not yet. Like, I think he's learning how to do that.
No, he would be. But I'm just saying, like, people would be like, dude, this kid's, like, mate helped us get to the national champions. Like, he didn't actually compete in the national championship for, like, the academic decathlon. Yeah. But he got them there and everything like that. Like, the most popular kid, the two most popular kids in the school are on that team as well. So it's not nerdy to be on that. And sure, he's a big part of that. Like, that would be like if the star quarterback of the football team was a nerd.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really make sense. And, like, there's no way. Like, all the girls thought he was cute. Like, if Liz Allen thought he was cute, like, there's no way that he would be, like, the nerd. Like, let's be real.
Yeah, this movie sucks.
Yeah, fuck this movie. No, but like that's just me being nitpicky. Like the movie was so much fun. I saw it twice, and I want to go see it again. Like I love this movie. I can't wait for it to come out on Blu-ray. I can't wait to see all the special features. And I loved all the Captain America stuff in this movie.
Yeah, it was cool.
Did you watch the after the credits?
Oh yeah,
I loved the closing. Like there's no spoiler. Like, it has nothing to do with the next movie, but like. Just the patience. You got to learn patience. That was so funny. And like Chris Evans could not keep a straight face delivering those lines because it's just so stupid and funny.
Yeah, it was cool.
I think it goes without saying this movie, I definitely think this movie should have happened. Like,
oh, absolutely. It
is exactly what Spider-Man should have been.
Yeah, I think it absolutely should have happened. I think it's like they got it right for the first time.
And I'm glad that he didn't take that like Iron Man suit. I'm glad that he's just going to stick around. Like, he's obviously going to be in Infinity War, and he's going to step up when big things happen, but I really like that he was so unsure of himself, and I like that he was still afraid of heights and all that stuff.
He was making his own technology.
And, like, the whole scene, like, him navigating that plane up in the it was awesome. Like, it was so good.
It was a great movie.
That monument scene, him climbing up, like, I probably would have gone in the lobby and gone up the elevator shaft. That's just me. But he's young and 15. He didn't have time to think about it. He panicked.
Yeah.
I forgive him.
Good. I'm sure he appreciates your forgiveness. This was a great movie. I think we both really enjoyed it. I think it is the definitive Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, I agree. That's it. Thank you guys for listening. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter at MDXPods. We're on Facebook as well. You can check us out on Patreon and mdxpods.com. I did recently find out 4 or 5 episodes disappeared from Stitcher. So I'm going to figure out what's going on there and try to get those back up. But we are still on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. So listen to us there. And that's it. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.